Welcome to the GOGcast, brought to you by Mad Cats, all about the game, an XSplit broadcaster, simple yet powerful, live streaming and recording. And now, your host, Leah.
Hello and welcome to another Girls on Games podcast. My name is Leah. I'm your host for this here episode. We're on episode number 102, and we just lived through a console launch. All right. We've got an awesome cast for you to hear today to talk about everything that there is to know about the Nintendo Switch and a little game called The Legend of Zelda. But first, before we get into the show, we've got a special guest along with Miss Kat. Kat, how are you doing?
I'm good.
And we've got our guest. That is Brock McLaughlin. How you doing?
I'm pretty good.
Awesome. I'm excellent. So for those of you who don't know Brock, he runs Brockstar Gaming and brockstargaming.com, that is. And you can find him on Twitter. And I see you and I'm trolling your Twitter and Facebook for all the cool video game stuff that you are doing in the Toronto area.
That's right.
Yeah.
Little bit of this, little bit of that.
Nice. So give us a little spiel about yourself and what you do.
All right. So I run a website called Brockstar Gaming. So we do a lot of reviews, previews, and then just general nostalgia articles about, you know, games we grew up on. And I'm always on Twitter, always talking to gamers, you know, and hanging out. And that's me. I'm always at events and playing games.
Sick.
Yeah.
We like sick. People who play games.
Right?
Like us. We're not alone.
I feel like I haven't gone out in like the outside world in like 3 months because of all the games recently.
That's the truth. But yeah. You did have a really cool adventure, and I want to hold on to that on the night of the launch of the Switch when we get into the launch of the Switch talk. But what are you playing right now?
I just pretty much finished Horizon Zero Dawn. I think I'm going to shelve it for the next little while. There's a, like, I'm going to jump into Ghost Recon, that one I talked about earlier, and I can't remember the name, Dagoropa, that's the one.
Yeah.
And, of course, Zelda. You know, it's taken over my life.
That's the truth. That's the truth. Kat, what are you playing?
I'm also playing Breath of the Wild. I'm not very far advanced, to be honest, because I was away for the weekend. So I played a bit today and a bit yesterday. And I'm still on the first three shrines on the plateau there. So, still in the beginning. I'm dying a lot, I find.
There's a lot of death.
It's not an easy game.
That's expected. Don't worry. You'll get out of that. Yeah, I've been playing Breath of the Wild on the Switch. I also got handed a code. Thank you very much, Nintendo PR representative. Julie, I love you. I also got to play Snipper Clips, which is now become like my lunchtime activity with me and my friend Mel at work, where now we just sit down and play Snipper Clips, which is pretty hilarious.
I haven't got my hands on that yet, but I'm super excited. I've heard nothing but good things.
It totally feels like playing with paper.
Nice.
Yeah, but non-destructive, which is kind of awesome.
Is it a good, like, two-player game, or is it fine on your own?
I haven't played it very much. I haven't touched it at all as a single-player game. I've only played it as a two-player game, because I got the code when I was at work and downloaded it right away. God, I love how you can move around with the Nintendo Switch. We were looking for something to play. We played 1-2 Switch, and, like, that kind of got old real fast. Mm-hmm. And then this came out. So we're going to make our way through this game, I think. I think that'll be like our new ritual at lunchtime. All right. So we're going to jump into the news. But first, before that, let's have a little break. And we are back. And back to talk about the launch of the Nintendo Switch. So, last Friday, or Thursday night for those of you that actually decided to venture out into the wee hours of the morning to pick up your console, we had the launch of Nintendo's latest hardware, that is Nintendo Switch, along with The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild and 1-2 Switch. Funny tale. So I was streaming because the embargo was up on the Zelda game, or I was about to stream, and on Thursday evening, around 7:30, plugged in my Nintendo into the dock to get ready, and boom, all of a sudden, update. So I had the update at 7:30 the night before and had access to the eShop, and I was like borderline going to download Snipper Clips right then and there. Ended up just downloading the demo. Luckily, I didn't, because I ended up with the code the next day. But I must say, it's sleek. Everything about the Nintendo Switch is sleek. Brock, you got your hands on one, right?
Yep. And I love how fast it is to switch from your TV to your handheld. It's like instant. It's amazing. Yeah. There's definitely, I have some issues with it, but we can get to later. But I love it on the surface. It's a really cool tool, for sure.
That's the truth.
And I think I'm very excited to see the future, because 1-2 Switch, it got boring pretty fast, but it does show a lot of what it's capable of.
It really does remind me of Wii Sports.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and when I wrote my review, I had like memories, like flashbacks, like drunken adventures, and that's exactly what we ended up doing for the purpose of my review. It's like, I want to test this in every scenario, physically, humanly possible.
Yeah,
yeah, alcohol was involved, and some friends, and a lot of laughs, and maybe some yelling Expelliarmus, and really, really bad meme jokes about milking cows, but, you know.
Oh, I'm a pro milker of the cow, for sure.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Get the high score on that one.
That just happened. Oh, my. There's a reason why we have an explicit tag on our podcast, but that's okay. So, launch events, there was only one EB Games in Montreal that had a launch event, and unfortunately, I couldn't make it. Kat, you were out of town. Yep. I had to work the next day, so I was like, nope, I'm just going to stay here and continue to play the Switch I have in my hands. But Brock, you guys had a really cool event at an EB Games in Toronto, correct?
Yeah, we did. It was right down at Yonge and Dundas Square. I admit, I didn't end up going because it was like negative 25 out. So I was staying in my lovely comfy bed beside me here. But I did talk to the guys, and a lot of my Toronto friends ended up going and having a blast. They had Will from Stranger Things, aka his real name's Finn something. But he was there on hand to cut the red carpet with Mario and take photos and give people their Nintendo Switches, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool to have a celebrity there. I mean, it's already cool that it's a console launch and people would have been there anyway. But just, you know, everybody's got the love for the Nintendo.
Right. And it seemed like he really likes Nintendo, which is cool. I mean, he's a young kid, and that's like, it's great to see that, like, especially like when I was 14, I would have been all over that. Like, that would have been super exciting.
Now, Kat, you're debating picking up the Switch? I mean, I've had it for a few days now. We've got a little bit of news out since launch. What are your thoughts right now?
Well, we've got Devin in our Discord chat that said he got a Switch for $125 after he handed it, like, his Wii U and a bunch of games. So that's very tempting to do. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm trading in an entire system that works for two systems, because the Wii U is backward compatible.
Right. You didn't have a Wii, right?
I didn't have a Wii. One of my major motivations for getting a Wii U was the fact that I could get one console and then just buy games for both, whatever I wanted to play. So you trade in a console that can work for two consoles with a whole collection of games to get a new console that has four games. So I'm just like, you know, because like if I trade in my Wii U, I lose a lot of my Legend of Zelda collection.
That's true.
Twilight Princess, Skyward Sword, which I haven't played yet, Wind Waker HD, actually, that I have in HD right now, not the original one, things like that. So I'm like, I'm not ready. I picked up Breath of the Wild on the Wii U. I figured, you know what, if it's going to be the last game for the Wii U, go for it. And then if in a year or two, if there's a nice bundle and a good collection of games, then I might pick up the Switch. Because what I want to play on the Switch is basically Mario Kart 8 and Breath of the Wild. And I now both have them on Wii U.
Yeah, I can understand that completely. I have a real hard time getting rid of consoles.
Oh, me
I have everything that I've owned. Like, I can't... I don't think I've ever traded in a console. I remember when my brother did once, and I was like, what are you doing? But yeah, everything. I still have it. I still have my PS2. I never had a PS1. I got my 64. Like, it's all here.
Nice.
Yeah, it's all here.
I mean, honestly, if Nintendo were like, okay, we're going to have the Wii U games on the Virtual Console, and there's a way for me to port over the fact that I've owned these games... Like, you know, if they were like, oh, you have Mario Kart 8 on Wii U for like $10, you can have it on, you can have the deluxe version on the Switch, then I'd be into it. Or maybe like, oh, you bought Breath of the Wild Wii U and now you have a Switch. Like, if there was an upgrade program like they did for the launch of the PlayStation 4, like Assassin's Creed Black Flag and a bunch of other games were like that. If you bought them on PS3 and you wanted to play them on PS4, you could upgrade for like $10.
That was a really smart idea.
Yeah,
PlayStation's part.
That's the big thing. I don't want to pay $500, but at the same time I don't want to lose my collection that I still play. Like Mario Kart 8 was at my office for the longest time. I brought it back because I'm playing Breath of the Wild, but like me and my coworkers played a lot of Mario Kart 8 and of Super Smash Brothers, even if everybody's like, we use a dead console. Marketing-wise, yes. Not player-wise. So I think I'm just gonna play the Switch when I go to your house. I'll try whatever games you have. And when I get the bug, I'll buy it. But I really want a bundle, and I want a better scope of the games that it's gonna have. Because I already own Skyrim twice on PC. I already own Mario Kart 8, and now I own Breath of the Wild. So just to be able to, like, play what, Mario Kart 8 on the bus? Yeah, I'll just buy Mario Kart 7 for the 3DS.
I would never give up my Wii U. Only, like, I just keep Captain Toad. It's like my favorite game on that system. I love it so much.
Such a good game.
I go back to it all the time. That Wii U is definitely staying, like, plugged in next to my TV so I can play that whenever I want.
I have a feeling they're going to bring all those games over. Like, they did Yoshi's Woolly World onto the 3DS, mm-hmm. I really have a feeling. The only thing I can see being a pain in the ass is some of them have touch controls, right? So they have to figure out a way to do that without, you know, in some instances you won't have touch, right? Because mm-hmm. if it's connected. But like Mario, what was the latest? Mario Paint Color Splash? Like I could see that move over. Yoshi's Woolly World could move over. Like there's so many. All the Mario games, Pikmin, Captain Toad, like, they could all come over.
There were so many good games on the Wii U. I know it gets, like, so much, like, flack, but there were so many great games.
All first-party games.
Yes. Yeah. I don't think I own any third-party. I'm trying to look at my collection. I'm like, no.
I have a few of the Yubi games.
Like Zombie U.
That was good. Rayman Legends. Good.
That was a good game, period. And isn't Origins supposed to come out? Wasn't Origins one of the launch window games, along with Steep? Was it Legends or Origins?
Oh, Origins. Legends is the newest one.
Okay, yeah. Maybe it's Legends. But, and then Steep and Just Dance, they're all supposed to come out on the Wii U? Or the Wii U, the Switch?
The Switch. I think Just Dance was a launch title.
Just Dance
title.
Is out, yeah.
Because
that was on display last week.
Right, I remember that.
Yeah.
I'm really curious to see Steep.
Is Steep coming to it?
I remember that being in the list.
Oh, that's news to me.
I thought that was wild. Hold on. Hold on. We have this wonderful thing called the internet.
All right.
Well, imagine if they use like the haptic feedback in those Joy-Cons would be great for Steep. Like every bump in that you hit, or even the feeling of the wind when you paraglide.
That'd be cool. I never gave Steep enough playtime. It just kind of got lost in the shuffle. It looked gorgeous, but I just got totally lost.
For crying out loud, why is this so hard to find?
Also, apparently Breath of the Wild isn't the last Wii U game. It's going to be Cars 3. So, you
really?
Can look forward to that.
Steep, TBC, but I thought for sure that was coming out in the launch. Because I remember seeing IGN post this, like, or not IGN, I think it was Polygon even, post a list afterwards, and Steep was one of them, and I thought it was coming out like ASAP. Because I want to compare what that looks like to the Xbox version. That's a really pretty game, too.
It is a really pretty game.
Yeah, it would be a good benchmark. Because, like, if we're benchmarking Breath of the Wild on Wii U versus the Switch, we're not going to get a good sense of the hardware difference. Mm-hmm. A game that is on PC and PlayStation and Xbox mm-hmm. would be a good way for us to really, like, get the scope of that. And Steep is a very wide open world game. I mean, we could do it with Just Dance, but we have the same problem as Zelda. You know, it's very cartoony, very flat. So.
Yeah. Oh, super stylized. Just Dance mm-hmm. is probably one of the most stylized games, and that's probably one of the games that translate the best through the generations, and we probably won't see any, you know, the gripes that we have looking back at Ocarina of Time, right? We're like, oh my god, the polygons. How did we live? And we thought this was like the craziest thing ever. But like, I don't think we're going to have that problem with Just Dance, because it's so stylized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of hardware, it seems like some folks had some issues with their launch day consoles. Everything from dead pixels to blue or orange screens of death. Yeep. And weird flickering. So I don't know how quick Nintendo produced these things and how much testing they go through, but like, hot damn, it seems like there's a fair amount. I don't remember too many consoles like Xbox Ones or PS4s coming out with that kind of issues. I do somehow remember that there was a tale about PlayStation having some issues.
Yeah, I think PlayStation, like PS4, had a few issues at first. I think most launch consoles do, though. I think that's just kind of the standard.
Yeah, but they had recalls, or they had a replacement. Like, there was the Xbox 360s with the Rings of Death. PlayStation is always, like, what, Blu-ray issues or laser disc reading issues, things like that. But I remember, like, the first-gen PS3 having those issues, and I remember being able to, if it happened to you, being able to either trade it in for the new generation for a rebate or through a program where, you know, I think it was $100 or something. But I mean, if Nintendo has those issues, they're gonna have to do like Xbox and PlayStation and mm-hmm. have a program in order to replace these consoles or repair them for a discounted price.
That's true. Did you, Brock, find any issues with the left Joy-Con controller? Because I haven't.
Yes, I've had the disconnecting Joy-Cons.
Oh,
so
yeah?
They've been dropping. So that's about it for me. I've had no, like, blue screen of death or, like, black and white or flickering screens or anything, thankfully. But, yeah, the only thing I've had is the disconnecting Joy-Cons.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then wrap up, I guess, your first week and a half or so with the console, because you got it early too, right?
No, I didn't.
You got it on launch day?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So first weekend then with the console. What do you think?
So far, so cool. I'm a little worried about scratching it. That is definitely a concern. And traveling. And it's like, I know a lot of like people are bringing it on the subway and stuff and carrying it around, but like it doesn't fit in any of my pockets. And like as it gets warmer, I don't know what I'm going to do with that thing. I'm going to have to put it in like a big sock and carry it around. Like I don't really know. I'm trying to think because there's no case for it, right?
No, there is.
There is
a case.
Okay.
So, okay, I got a tale. So okay. I told this last week because I walked into an EB Games early I had my console and I was carrying it around because I want to take pictures in the Metro. Mm-hmm. So I actually had it inside a toque, inside a plastic bag, inside my purse because it was raining and I was really afraid I was going to get it wet. Mm-hmm. So I walked into an EB Games and they didn't have any of the Nintendo branded stuff out yet, but they had the off-brand.
Gotcha.
I don't know. Anyways, so I went in there and bought the case because I was like, I will break this shit. I am a klutz. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I did and walked out. And when I got home, like I didn't think much of it because I took it right out of the package, threw away the package, put it in the Switch in the case, threw it in my purse, and that was it. When mm-hmm. I got home, I took it out and I thought that I smelled this something kind of funny, like really weird, like petroleum smell. And I was like, what the heck? So it's the case. So I realized it was the case. And I'm like, oh, maybe there's something up with my case. So I brought it to work. And one of my colleagues had also gone to pick up, to pre-order his, and picked up a case. His case also smells like really ridiculous petroleum jelly. Like, I'm like, ugh. It's to the point where, like, it's making me kind of nauseous after a while, and it's just the case. But okay. The smell does come off on the Switch. So I have a feeling I'm going to go pick up a Nintendo-branded case before it's all said and done, because this smells bad.
Yeah, it sounds horrible.
Like, terrible. I can't believe they put it out like this. Like, you know how some, like, jeans, black jeans can smell funny?
Sure.
Yeah.
You imagine worse than that.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like the dye or something. It's gross.
Yeah.
It's gross. But yeah, there's a case.
Okay.
And luckily, us women, we carry around purses.
Right.
So,
see?
So, yeah.
You have that, like, you know, bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Time to pick up a merce, man.
I tried for like a week and I just got like ridiculed.
Book bags. Nice stylized bag.
I rock like a backpack sometimes. Yeah. You know, I could just throw it in there.
Yeah.
The sweaty gym equipment and stuff.
Next bit of news. There's a reason why Miss Allie is not here on the podcast. So I forgot to mention earlier that Simon is quite ill. And Allie's pretty tied up today. Kat, why is that?
Because they've announced the launch date for Outlast 2.
Yay,
so for those of you
coming.
Who don't know. Yeah, Allie works for Red Barrel. So today was a hectic day for her at the office. So Outlast 2 is coming April 25th. Digital and physical. There's a physical copy for Xbox One and PlayStation 4 that includes what they call the Outlast Trinity. It includes Outlast, Outlast Whistleblower, and Outlast 2. So if you want to pick up just Outlast 2, it is $30 USD, which is usually around $40 for us Canucks. But if you want to pick up the Trinity is $40 USD, so it should be about $50 or $60 for us Canucks.
That's a good deal.
It is a good deal. Like, that's the like a AAA price for three games and, you know, award-winning games. Outlast is probably one of the best and most decorated horror games out there. So if you would like to piss your pants, April 25th.
Remember, they put out a Kickstarter promo, promo teaser thing with the black diaper for people who are gonna play Outlast 2.
I included like a cup holder to put like your energy drink and things like that. That was funny.
That was so funny. That first one scared me so much. We did an extra live stream and it just was like terrifying. I'm really stoked to see like where it goes.
Have you played the demo?
Yeah, I have. I loved it. I can't. Yeah, and it was very creepy.
Oh yeah, those dead babies.
Oh my god. Allie was at Comic-Con because they were showing the demo. They had the black church. Allie looked at me and she's like, go in. I was like, fuck you.
This is the truth. Like, folks can't see me right now, but imagine me going into this like really dark space with just like the console set up there and like with one eye closed and the other one kind of only squinty open, and I'm like leaning back as far as I can with the controller in my hand. I'm like, I can't do this. And I knew there was like a camera in there too, so God only knows what the footage is gonna be like.
Oh, that's awesome. So I did it on the floor at X16, so there's like a ton of people, so it's a little less like creepy.
Not as
but creepy. It was still terrifying.
So they didn't have the big booth with the wood?
No, not at X16.
Like that chapel. Oh, that chapel was creepy.
I don't know how they move that around. That is like a major undertaking.
It is. You have a company for those things.
Oh yeah, for certain. For certain. All right, last little piece of news before we jump into the topic of the show, which I'm sure you all are really excited for because Zelda. So we got a little bit of a leak, though it's, I mean, we had a feeling this was already coming. So it's like confirming further. So This Gen Gaming, which is TG Gaming Reviews on Twitter, has a screenshot of Assassin's Creed. And it looks like the next Assassin's Creed is going to be in Egypt, which I'm really stoked about because I love that aesthetic. And I love the idea of pharaohs and kind of like hunting down tombs at the same time. Are you ready, Kat? Are you ready for Assassin's Creed Egypt?
I am. I'm actually happy they're going back in time. Because we were moving forward.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. And I wasn't a big fan of Syndicate. Mind you, I had other priorities, like, in real life that stopped me from playing the game, but, like, after everything was said and done, I was like, I don't want to play this game. I don't want to go back to it. I wasn't really into it. I think the fact that they're going back and that they took an extra year, I'm really excited. Like, I want them to bring back the jumping puzzles.
Like, oh, yeah.
Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood and Revelation, with Ezio, you had these crazy jumping puzzle, like these dungeon-like things. Like, those were my favorite. I want one in the pyramids. Like, both
Ooh.
Pyramids.
Ooh.
Make
Ooh.
It happen, UB. I will be the happiest person, because that's what lacked, I find, in Syndicate. Syndicate was too much of a shoot 'em up, or, you know, more like an objective game. It was very much like, go there, do this. It was very, like, almost like GTA Victorian era.
Yeah, I can see that.
I really miss that gameplay from the Ezio series, so.
I really want a solid character to fall in love with, like, Ezio again. Mm-hmm. I feel like everybody else has been kind of, like, throwaway characters. Like, I get into them a little bit, but I don't really get sold on it.
Oh, man, Connor was such a disappointment from Assassin's Creed 3.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I felt like I was really hyped for that game, and they were building up that character, and then you play him, and he was almost like an Aiden Pierce type guy, and I was like, come on!
Yeah, that's true.
The first non-white assassin in a AAA, like, full-fledged AAA game, and this is the shit you give me?
Do you think we're gonna get a female assassin?
Maybe,
that'd be,
man.
Cool.
In Egypt, it could work.
I'd like that, because otherwise I feel like it's going to be very, like, Prince of Persia-y.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I, like, see the thing go, and it's like, ah. I like the last one. I like the twins. I thought they were all right. I had a lot of fun. I really like the Jack the Ripper DLC, but it definitely didn't feel like an Assassin's Creed game.
I called that, eh? We went for a launch in Quebec City, and when they finally announced that it was going to be London, Victorian area, that kind of thing, steampunky style.
Yeah.
First question I asked is like, how about Jack the Ripper? And they were like, we are not going to confirm or deny anything yet. And as soon as they announced it, I was like, called it! Leah was right.
Yeah, well.
All right. Let's jump into the topic of the show today, which of course is going to be The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. But first, a short break. This is your friendly neighborhood warning, because the topic of the show this week may contain spoilers. And it's time to talk The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. This is the topic of our show today, and you know what? The review scores are in. We've all played it, some of us more than others. And damn, could this be the best Zelda yet? We're going to hold off on that until the end of the conversation. But we've got a round of all of us here playing on different consoles. I've played on the Switch. Brock, I believe, has played on the Switch as well.
Switch for me.
Switch. And Kat, you tried on Wii U.
Yep. Because I'm cheap.
No, it's not that. There's nothing wrong with that. You have the console. We were supposed to get this game on that console. That's why we wanted that console originally. It was the only console without its own dedicated Zelda game.
Like the GameCube, same thing happened to the Wii U.
GameCube? Hold up.
Ooh.
Yeah,
doesn't it have Wind Waker? Wasn't that GameCube?
Oh, you're right. But they did put Twilight Princess on the GameCube trying to save it.
Exactly. That they did. But yeah, the reviews have been nothing but positive. A lot of different outlets have given it 10s, high 9s, people saying it's the best Zelda yet. So I want to roll through some of the stuff that we've played and talk about new things, old things, stuff that we're concerned about, stuff that we're super excited about, and maybe a few hidden Easter eggs. So new things that came to this version of Zelda Breath of the Wild. right off the bat, and something that you get introduced into right away, and Kat, you were complaining about this earlier, is you get tossed in and you are a weakling.
Oh, yeah.
You are not strong.
That is some Skyrim bullshit right there. Walk to Whiterun and there are dragons in the sky.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
It's nuts. Like, you walk in there, they give you 3 hearts, weapons that are absolutely terrible, and you got to make your way through. This is the first time I played a Zelda game where I actually spend, part of my strategy is running away.
Yeah.
Like,
you have
playing that stamina guide, the stamina wheel is like, I've become a master. I have it timed down of when, how often I can press it.
You have to run. Otherwise, you're going to, like, you'll just walk in. You're like, oh, shit, those guys are all going to just kill me right now. And you have no idea because it doesn't really guide you. And that's super cool. It's like, here you go. You're on your own.
Yeah.
Which is crazy for, like, a Zelda game.
Yeah, that's another thing. So right off the bat, you're tossed into the game. You're not really given any instruction besides this is how you crouch to crawl and be sneaky. So that's okay. This is how you pick up a weapon. This is how you use it, that kind of stuff. But then you're just left to your own devices and you got to figure it out on your own. But it's not hard to figure out.
No. You found that first wall and I was like, oh, you can't do that in a Zelda game, like climb it up when you're trying to get out of that cave. And you're like, oh, actually, you can in this one.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And then you have to get out there and figure it all out.
That's the best way to play this type of game. This kind of discovery, like, oh, it's what I've been waiting for in a Zelda. Kat, you've been through the shrines now, the first few ones?
I just finished the one that's where you're cold. I don't have the paraglider yet.
Okay.
I'm almost, like...
So, right off the bat, as the introductory scene, how do you find this for Zelda for, you know, getting you into the loop?
I mean, it's classic Zelda. More like, you know, it's just like, let's set the stage. But it's very much Nintendo being like, it's Link, there's Zelda, there's a Ganon type thing. You know what to do. So I'm hoping as the game goes that we figure out what happened with the world, because I was really intrigued to see technology, like not just the Sheikah Slate, but like the robots and everything. And I was just like, okay, that's a bit Zaniker and Final Fantasy X vibe going there of dead technology, you know, 100 war that was 100 years ago. And so...
Yeah, it's funny. We've got 2 games with the same kind of style at the same time. Like, Brock, you're playing Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah.
I played a bit of that. And it's the same kind of feeling where it's like technology that has gone by the wayside yet has become a bit of the enemy. And now the same thing's happening in Zelda.
Right. And it's the crafting system is huge. It's so important in both games.
My God.
Like,
yes.
You know,
let's
which
talk
is cool.
Crafting. Let's talk. Catherine, you haven't gotten into cooking yet.
Not yet. I kind of need it because I'm freezing my ass off on this mountain. I have these hot peppers and they do shit.
Cook them. Just take it out, hold it, throw it in a pot.
That's all you have to do to learn cooking?
Yeah.
Are you? Jesus.
Seriously, this game is like nothing but discovery. You sit there and you're like, can I do this? Like, I can't tell you how many times in a video game I've sat there and been like, can I do this? And failed.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you think you can do in the Zelda game. Can I scale that mountain? Yes, I can. Do I just do this? How many things can I put in the pot? What happens when I cook, like, a bad guy's horn with, you know, an apple and a firefly? You can do that. It can be done.
The cooking system's so much more fun than something like compared to like Final Fantasy 15, where you had like no control really. Like this one, you can like actually experiment and like be a chef, which adds a whole other aspect to this game.
Okay, well that reminds me in Skyrim, every time I had a new ingredient, I was like, what does this do? Nom 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 nom. Oh, it's poison. Oh, there goes my stamina. So yeah, I didn't realize. I was waiting for a goddamn tutorial like every goddamn Nintendo game. All right. So after I'm gonna log in and I'm gonna cook some spices and then I'm gonna go get that chest that's in the middle of the lake where you have to make the ice column to go get that chest.
Yeah, every item works better or has added value if you cook it.
Yeah.
Some items when you cook, it's really funny, they make like mystery meat or mystery food. Don't you love the icon where it's all pixelated and you're just like, yuck.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Link, but eat it. Eat it anyways.
It'll give you 1 heart.
Yeah, you know.
Stamina is also a big new thing in this game. We mm-hmm. talked a little bit about it earlier. And the idea of, you know, you can only run so far for so fast, and then you got to be very, very cautious with it. And stamina counts for almost every aspect of the game at this point.
Climbing gets me every time. I get like halfway up the mountain, and then there I go, falling off the side.
I drowned.
Depressing.
Swimming. Yeah.
Swimming. Yeah.
Running away from bad guys.
A goblin actually knocked me in the lake because it was like next to the Temple of Time, and mm-hmm. I landed in the lake. And I was in there, and I saw the stamina wheel, and I saw where I had to go. And, like, I couldn't climb out, or I couldn't swim
to shore.
I just died.
You just died.
Yeah. I just straight up died. That was, like, some Skyrim / Dark Soul type thing. Just like, well, you're out of luck.
But it doesn't take you long to reload. And it tries to put you fairly close to where you died. You've got a dirty big X where you last died on your map. But yeah. at least you, like, have a little bit of a chance, which you end up running away.
Yeah, I feel like, does the stamina wheel, like, grow at one point?
Yeah, so, I guess I should say spoilers at this point. I mean, we've talked about some stuff so far that, like, everybody knows. It's in the trailers, it's all that kind of stuff. But if you want to know the real nitty-gritty, so we're going to get spoilery on you now. Yes, you can grow your stamina wheel at the same time as your hearts. So you get the choice as you get in those shrines, you know, that you're going through and, like, learning all the extra abilities, like the freezing the water and the magnet and all that jazz. Those little orbs, you collect 4, and you unlock stuff. Could be a heart, if you choose, or could be extra stamina.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Because, like, in Skyrim, stamina is really, really important if you make a fighter type thing. Mm-hmm. And I always put a lot of it, because I play Thieves, mm-hmm. and I like to be able to run away.
But don't worry, that spoiler is actually something that, Kat, you're getting really close to finding out anyway.
I figured as much, because when you finish that part, you have 4 spirit orbs, and I still have no idea what they do. So I figured the old man would be like, you got 4 of these things. Here's what they do.
Yeah, that's coming.
Started to expand, like, your inventory slots yet, too?
No.
She's not there yet.
Okay. She's got a ways to go. Okay.
That's soon, though. That's really soon. That's the next thing. As soon as you get the paraglider, then she's off to the races. And then it's like the whole gamut is open to you. You can do whatever, go wherever. It doesn't matter.
Then the game really opens up.
Yeah, I figure once I get this is the intro, they're going to explain to me what they want to explain to me. And after that, it's going to be like Skyrim or The Witcher. It's just like, I'm going to be in the middle of Hyrule Field, and I'm going to be like, left.
That's the truth. Temperature is also something that we haven't really talked about too much in Zelda games. I mean, in previous games, you have different outfits for different tasks. So, you know, like the Goron outfit, tunic to be able to go in the fire level and not die, Zora one to be able to swim, that kind of stuff. But now it's more temperature, and it's all based around the world. So you go to a cold place, you need a cold outfit, something to keep you warm.
See, that's something that's not present in a lot of RPGs. And I'm going to go back to Skyrim, because I've been playing a lot of Skyrim waiting for Breath of the Wild. You're in the middle of a mountain, and you could be naked, and it doesn't matter. There's wind howlings and everything. It does not matter. And in Zelda, they've had a bit of that, but just like, you know, just like extreme heat, like the volcano. But you could be in water for hours and not die of hypothermia. So it's an interesting mechanic. It's kicking my ass.
I'm trying to think of games that actually, like, you know, adjust if you what clothes you're wearing, and there's not many coming to mind here.
No.
Skyrim was actually modded in. Like, the community made mods because they were like, that doesn't make sense, and they wanted to add that layer of realism. Because if not, like, you fight the Forsworn in the middle of a storm, and the girls are wearing fur bikinis. And the guys are just wearing, like, the fur skirts, and they're, like, their chests are bare, and I'm like, those nipples are gone. They've fallen off, friend.
that's a horrific thought in my head right now.
Yeah. I'm like, frostbite has taken you.
That's a terrible way to go.
Yeah.
But yeah, Zelda, Breath of the Wild, I've seen people and heard tales of people trying to play the whole game, with like no clothes, like naked. And you can do it because you can mix up and cook up things to be able to survive. But damn, you got to be pretty good on like making sure your inventory is full of all the necessary. There we go. That's what happens when you played Zelda for way too long in the weekend. All the right items, like the mushrooms and the chili peppers, and
I'm super excited to see like the speedrun community take on this game.
Oh man. Ooh,
like,
yeah,
it's gonna be really fun to watch.
Yeah, that's the truth. One of the greatest things of this game is exactly how incredibly open world it is. You mm-hmm. can go anywhere. I am currently halfway through the Divine Beasts, so I've gotten two. I'm on to my third, and I decided to I'm just gonna go unlock every piece of the map. So that's what I'm doing, running around like a crazy woman.
Are you riding a horse?
Part of the time.
Okay.
That's one thing. I do enjoy the horse mechanic, but they're not easy to come by. Like you need to really like find a stable and then get him. And then, man, you can like leave them out in the middle of nowhere. They don't go anywhere. They don't leave. Like, don't they get eaten by monsters? I don't understand.
Magical.
Magical.
Is it a multiple horse system? It's not Epona?
You can unlock Epona, but it's more you got to go tame wild horses.
Yeah, oh, there's quite a few different horses.
Insert ridiculous pop song here. Tame wild horses. I'm sure there's a song about wild horses.
Yeah, it's a Rolling Stones song.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, not a pop song. Rock song.
Yeah, rock song, yeah.
There we go. I should know better.
It's like a ballad. It's a great song.
Old goodies that are back in Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Familiar characters. Lots of familiar characters. Yeah.
Which is nice to see. I didn't expect that.
Yeah, some Gorons that you know. The Zoras. Oh my god, how beautiful are they? love it. The designs, the character design in this game are great. And the bird characters, were they from Skyward Sword?
Or they knew? I never played Skyward Sword.
Me neither.
I didn't do anything for me.
Okay. I'm gonna have to Google them to see an image and I will tell you.
Dun, dun, dun.
Bird rays. Images.
Have you found any re-deads?
Re-deads?
Yeah, like the zombies?
You mean the ones that pop up in the middle of the night?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Are you talking about the ones from, like, in the Temple of Time?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. I haven't found any of those.
Okay, no, I haven't.
Okay.
Let's talk about other things that are missing from the game that we haven't seen.
I think there's one big one.
What's that?
The grappling hook?
Where the fuck is the hook shot?
Right? There. Yeah. That's a hook shot. Where is it?
There's no hook shot?
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, no.
What?
Yeah. It's a little odd.
I mean, I'm halfway through there's stuff though that I know that we haven't gotten yet, and you know, because I'm getting into spots now in the process of trying to unlock all the space. I've run into areas that I really can't get at, and I have a feeling it's coming because the only way I can think of getting to certain areas to be able to unlock stuff is if I had something like a hookshot or the ability to fly, which I don't yet. I don't know if I'll ever have the ability to fly.
It might be one of the runes.
I don't know.
Because so far, a lot of the items have been runes, like the bombs.
Yeah, that's true. How awesome is the fact that you don't have to collect bombs?
Oh, thank God!
Like seriously, you have to be inventory conscious of so many things in that game, and at least bombs is not one of them.
Yes, very happy about that.
I've always been very liberal with bombs. I always ran out. So now I'm just like, bomb, 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 bomb.
Use them for attacking.
I use them for everything.
Yeah, they're
I'm like, what's the secret? Bomb.
That's the truth. The runes are pretty awesome, too. Mm-hmm. The idea of being able to stop time, which, you know, is kind of very pertinent for a Zelda game because time is a very big factor. I mean, Ocarina of Time on its own, yet the idea of, you know, the Zelda timeline being all over time, like three different versions of time. The what would you call it? The magnet one? I don't remember what it's called. Stasis, I think, is the time one. Cryonics is the freezing one. And then the magnetic one, I don't remember.
I unlocked it like yesterday. I already forgot the name.
I don't have my Switch next to me either. But they're such cool new mechanics for a Zelda game to add another level. Because that's what we like. We like the Zelda tropes, but we like this idea of like bringing new things to the game. And I'd say that Breath of the Wild is probably one of the freshest takes, if not the freshest takes, on the Zelda franchise.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Especially after like Skyward Sword and Twilight Princess, it really needed this. Like, this is so much better. I couldn't get into Twilight Princess no matter how hard I tried.
Really? I loved it.
Yeah, eh?
But it was a classic Zelda experience. And when I played it, that's what I wanted.
Yeah.
I have yet to touch Skyward Sword. I did Twilight Princess, and then I played Wind Waker HD.
Nice. Which, oh, that was so fun.
Yeah,
that
and it's so a, great. It was a completely different experience. So and then we had the Link Between Worlds on 3DS, which was another type of experience. So I'm really happy with how Breath of the Wild is like that continuation of them, of making a Zelda game that feels a bit different each time. Even if Twilight Princess was a very classic Zelda experience, it was the first one with motion control, and the fact that you could become a wolf, the wolf mechanic was completely different than what we've seen before. So there's always a twist. Like the games that I didn't like were like Phantom Hourglass, where I was just like, stop bothering me with the same dungeon over and over and over again.
Yeah, that's annoying. Or that stupid Triforce Heroes game. I still don't understand that.
Oh, that was bad. That was bad.
I don't remember that one.
That was the three-person 3DS
game.
See, yeah. You had erased it. It's so bad.
It's incredible how little they showed of this game upon like it coming out. Like I'm just like discovering so much that I didn't even think was going to be in this game. Like I had absolutely no idea. Which is incredible. I mean, most games now come out, we know pretty much everything that's going to be there, right?
That's the truth.
This has been total shock.
That is the truth. Speaking of Wolf Link, he makes an appearance, Kat. Amiibo?
If you have the Amiibo, yeah. I saw the video that you posted on Girls on Games.
Yeah, super handy. He can attack. He can help you hunt down items.
Did you get all the Amiibos?
No, I didn't. I want to try the other four.
I want that big one with all the legs.
Oh my goodness. What is that machine called? They've never given a name yet.
I have no idea, but I want it. It looks really cool.
Hold on, I'm going to look now. I'm sure the name is on Zelda Amiibo. I love the internet. Guardian? I think it's called Guardian.
Oh. That was,
yeah, Guardian.
I was expecting a little bit more of a pizzazz name.
Yeah, no, not that pizzazzy. Not that pizzazzy at all. My chair squeaks. There are some very awesome things in this game that just bring it to another level outside of just, you know, the gameplay mechanics. Things that I'm so stoked that they've done in a Zelda game. The voice acting in this game is so good.
Well, there is voice acting in this game.
Well, except for
starters.
He's still mute.
Which I'm okay with. I think after all this time, I don't really want to hear his voice.
He doesn't need to talk.
Yeah.
I think if they play on that game for a while, but it can still be funny. He can stay a mute and it can still be funny. Yeah. But I was like, just when the game started and there was this lady speaking to me and I was like, wait, I don't have to read this? In a Zelda game?
Not everything has a cutscene or voiced over, but a fair chunk of important story information.
There's not just an annoying sprite, like just throwing beeps at you.
Or, hey, listen!
Hey, listen!
The animations. God, those cutscenes.
I love the cutscene. There's a few parts in the game I'm like, ooh, that doesn't look very good, but for the most part it's pretty beautiful. There's a few shadows and things that are like, oh, that's kind of ugly, but I think it was bound to happen. But the cutscenes are just incredible.
Oh my god, the motion in it. Did you have any issues? You've played both docked and undocked, right, with the Switch. When you played docked, did you have some issues?
Not really, no.
I was in a spot when I was streaming, which had really tall grass, trees, enemies, lightning arrows, and it was raining, and there was lightning, and it was having some issues.
Yeah, it drops down in frames big time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was spazzing out.
Have you been hit by lightning?
Yep.
Because it's hilarious.
It's pretty painful.
Man, I enjoy that.
Anytime you get hit, you take a wallop.
And, yes.
Yeah, down to half a heart in no time. And I have like 8 hearts right now or 9 hearts. And like, yeah, you get, it's pretty quick one smackaroo and you're back down to half a heart. Cooking is important.
Yes.
Say it again.
And get fire arrows too. That would help with cooking.
That's
for sure.
That's true. Warping is a big part of this game. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I really appreciate is the fact that you can get out of a dungeon and go back into it at any point. You run out of arrows, you can warp out, warp back in.
And warp at the same area?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Because that was an issue with Zelda. It was just like, if you walk out, you have to walk back into where you were.
No, they purposely, as soon as you get to certain areas, they're like, you unlock the warp point. You can come and go as you please. And you're like, yes, finally.
Awesome. Because like Water Temple, Ocarina of Time.
There's none of that nonsense.
Yeah.
If you've ever had to walk out of that dungeon and then make your way back to wherever the fuck you were, if you hadn't unlocked the midpoint, and even if when you unlock the midpoint, it was horrible. So I'm glad that they added that.
Bad guys respawn a bit, but they're easy enough to handle when they're...
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about it.
That's such a nice handy feature.
Such a great feature. And just the shrines, even if you can't finish a shrine, just go and activate it because it becomes a warp point. It's worth it.
Yeah, well, for open world game, you need some sort of warp mechanic. Every giant open world game has a warp. Usually when you visit a city, it becomes a warp point.
But there's even more in this game. It's kind of impressive how many warp points. And you need it because this place is freaking huge. And the scale from like ocean level up to the top of mountains, you really do need it. Because it could take you a fair chunk of time to like climb some stuff.
Mm-hmm. Did you turn off your motion controls?
No.
Oh.
It rumbles while I have the switch in my hands.
I just started, it's really hard to shoot the bow with the motion controls.
Oh,
it throws things off for me.
I got used to that pretty quick.
Yeah?
It did throw me off at first, but then it became second nature. Which is
funny. I didn't give it a try.
That's funny because like I cursed on that during Star Fox Zero.
Oh god.
Like that's why I rage quit.
The less I talk about the game, the better.
Oh, man after my own heart.
Oh, I hate that game so much.
But yeah, the motion controls, actually, I got used to them pretty quick.
Okay.
Not so bad.
I didn't give it much of a chance. I was like, nope, turn them off.
And the last thing I want to talk about of stuff that really makes this game pop is the new take on dungeons through shrines and the divine beasts. Now, Kat, you've only seen a little bit of the shrines. Brock, have you gone through any of the divine beasts sections yet?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
No.
Oh.
See, I know. You're far, way farther than I am. I know.
Just wait.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm waiting. I feel like I'm waiting for so much to happen still. It's like,
you feel so smart after you finish some of the puzzles, and then you're like in previous Zelda games, you would have been freaking out because you're like, I couldn't figure this out like at all. But these are easy enough yet hard enough to give you a challenge to make you really think outside the box.
Okay. That's nice. You need that, you know?
Yeah. I want to tell you guys more. Oh my god, I can't wait to have this conversation with you guys after you've finished or gone further. Huh. But there have been some Easter eggs dropped in the community. So apparently, you know that like pattern that have been like etched on everything? Like the little, they look like hieroglyphs, I guess you could say? They've been translated. It was on Reddit. Polygon wrote an article. So yeah, It's even funny, even they say in here, a small spoiler warning before we get into the details. Most of Polygon's staff, including the author of this piece, has not finished Breath of the Wild. essentially, apparently there's a way to read it and there are messages throughout the game. I haven't gone through to try and read this because I've only discovered this today and they talked about it today. Apparently even on the special edition, I believe it's the figurine or something that comes with it, there's the phrase, the Hyrule Fantasy. That's kind of cool.
Ooh.
That they work that into it. I'm wondering now, like, does the Guardian have Guardian written on it?
Hmm.
Nice little touch. Nice little touch from Zelda to put its own language into the game.
And you know somebody on Reddit's going to translate it.
Yeah, of course someone's translating that somehow, somewhere.
If somebody's like, I wonder what that means, I'm like, have you checked Reddit? Home of the super nerds? I love Reddit for that.
I'm looking at this chart they have right here, like the full translation on Polygon, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's pretty in-depth.
Oh, they even have numbers and spaces, eh?
Yeah, and hard stops, full stops and space.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can kind of read some of it. A looks like an at symbol turned on its side.
Okay, sure.
Let's see.
B, I
G
guess.
G looks turned sideways. B, I don't know.
If you turn on its side, too, I guess. I don't. C, definitely not.
X, V, they look like they're normal letters.
I looks like an M, so that's confusing.
How did they figure this out? Okay. O looks kind of phallic.
H looks like a house, so I guess, you know.
Yeah, I can see the H in there.
P's totally off. And this is so confusing. Like, how much time did someone spend figuring this out?
I don't know. I don't know.
But thank you, random Redditor. You're a good person.
But is this based on, like, this? This is a Japanese game, so is this language based on Japanese?
Nope.
It doesn't look... I took Japanese for a year. I'm terrible at it, but it doesn't look very Japanese.
No, this is based on... These look like legit hieroglyphs.
I love that there's not only a super nerd that translated it, but super nerds at Nintendo that made this. This is why I love games so much.
It reminds me a lot of Lord of the Rings and the Elvish language.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe this was part of the delay. They were working on the alphabet.
I don't think that's a legit reason for a delay, but okay. Okay. Now we know why they were waiting on the delay. They wanted to announce the Switch.
There we go.
Yeah.
Alternate facts.
Yeah, indeed. Roundup. Of course, everybody's given these crazy reviews, and I'm still not finished the game, and you guys are obviously not finished the game as well. But the question lies, is this the best Zelda game yet?
I don't know if it's the best one yet, but it's definitely the best of the current generation. I think Breath of the Wild is this generation's Ocarina of Time.
And in that, Kat, you and I have frequently said Ocarina of Time is our favorite game.
Yes. I mean, it's not a perfect game. We love it for what it opened up for us. And it was one of the best gaming experience at the time. Replaying it, I see a lot of bullshit in that game.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
it's really hard to go back and play that now.
Especially painful
at parts.
Especially after playing this game.
Yeah.
It's like they went back and looked at all their Zelda games and said, okay, this sucked, this worked. Let's make it all work in this game.
Mm-hmm. But also they're looking at fucking Skyrim 5 years later, they reissue the game and people are still playing 100 hours. Why? You know, Witcher, why? Why are people playing so much and things like that? You see a lot, they went and looked at the best open world games.
Yeah.
And took and cherry picked what was good in these games. And then they went into all of the Zelda games and then they cherry picked what was good. And then they looked at gaming today and adapted Zelda to what it means to game today. And they made this generation's Ocarina of Time that redefines not only The Legend of Zelda, but actually brings up the RPG open world genre, contributes to that genre. Like, for me, if people are like, okay, you played games in the last 5 years, which what should I play to experience a very good open world in a fantasy setting, I would be like Skyrim, Witcher 3, Zelda Breath of the Wild.
It's actually bringing something to gaming.
Yeah.
The thing about Ocarina of Time and why it's so special to me is also because it sets me in a moment in time when I was gaming, what I was doing, the emotional connection, that kind of thing. I can see that Breath of the Wild can do that for people. The emotional attachment to the characters and everything, I feel it coming. So I have this really, like, I have this feeling now that I'm going to lose Ocarina of Time as my favorite game and it's going to become this one. I'm not there yet. I'm not finished the game. But I'm having moments of, like, eureka and, like, total euphoria that I had when I was playing Ocarina of Time that could easily make one surpass the other.
I think objectively, it's a better game than Ocarina of Time. And then just give it time and it will become that subjectively as well.
How about you, Brock?
Majora's Mask will always be my favorite. Sorry.
Really?
I prefer it over Ocarina. Yeah. I love Majora.
I hated that game. I couldn't do it.
The second time around, I like it.
Hunting for all those like different masks, I was like, I had to do it as a kid and I just loved it. That was my game. And followed by Ocarina. But yeah, I think this has potential to be up there. It's just a nostalgia thing, right? When we played those games and they were so good back in the day. It's hard to like look at this now and be like, is this better? Probably. I mean, but will it hold a better place in my heart? Probably not.
Well, there's always that layer of nostalgia. Mm-hmm. Because, like, you know, GoldenEye defined it the first-person shooter genre, but it aged terribly.
Terrible.
And I feel Ocarina of Time is the same. It's like if you try to tell a kid you should play this game to know what Zelda means today, and I'd be like, no. Let's Twilight Princess, Wind Waker, okay. But yeah. let's not
Link
subject
Between
them.
Worlds is probably the closest thing to it was rivaling what Ocarina of Time was doing in breaking the idea of Zelda.
Yeah, I think Ocarina of Time now is just for the diehard fans or the nostalgic like us, but I think Breath of the Wild is like a wide open game where non-Zelda fan could get lost in it because it has so many more open world fantasy tropes included in that, so that somebody that played a lot of Skyrim or Witcher 3 could easily get into this game as long as they're willing to take away the grit. Because Legend of Zelda is not gritty like Witcher 3 and Skyrim. And as far as I can tell, there's no dragons.
And there's no sex on horses.
No. No full frontal nudity.
No bathhouses. Nothing like that.
I'm sorry, you save the princess, you don't get to see her tits.
Yeah.
I've not done the game yet, we don't know.
Unlike Witcher 2, that opened with a pair of tits.
Yep. So. Didn't the third one too? Because you wake up in the girl's bed.
Do you wake up in the girl's bed? And,
I think so,
and
or she comes to see you, but she's naked to wake you up. It's been a long time since I started that game.
Me too, and I'm like... I'm like 30 to 40 hours away from that game. But anyway, good open world game, no tits.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think that pretty much runs up the show here today before I let y'all go. We want to thank FunIRO, who is our website hosting. They are awesome, and if you're looking for website hosting, especially stuff like we do, they have VPS, they can host a WordPress blog, whatever you're looking for, go check them out. Of course, for those who are interested, though Simon's not here, and we wish him all the best in his health, stream schedule-wise, we're on Beam. We moved everybody to Beam, so if you want to go check that out, you can go find our team page. Catherine, it's beam.pro/team/girlsongames, if I'm correct.
It's also on girlsongames.tv.
That's true.
So right now it's a baby team because we just moved, and a lot of our previous stream team members decided to stay on Twitch. They're still within Girls on Games, they're just not streaming for us like we did with a schedule. So check out the page, and if you're interested in joining the team, you can hit us up at info@girlsongames.ca and we can get talking. So We love Beam. We're enjoying it very much. Nothing wrong with Twitch, just different vibes, different strokes.
I gotta try OBM. I still haven't tried it out.
Oh, you should.
Yeah. It looks great.
It's so much fun. The community is amazing on there.
Nice.
So welcoming.
Yeah, Twitch is, I wouldn't say the same.
It's a special beast, Twitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Twitch got the YouTube treatment. Everybody's on there, so there's everybody's on there.
Mm-hmm.
For good or bad.
Yeah, indeed. Website highlights, Kat. We got a lot of Switch stuff up on the site, don't we?
Yes, because basically it's pretty much the only thing happening in gaming right now.
Nintendo Switch Show, that's all it is.
Yeah, so we have our video unboxing the Nintendo Switch. We have the full review of the Nintendo Switch. We have Zelda Breath of the Wild gameplay. We have testing all the amiibos that Leah has, which is a good
fair
chunk,
number.
Zelda Breath of the Wild, so you can watch that video. This week for art examination with Miss Bianca Dunk, we're looking at Transistor and building a world with color. So if you've played Transistor, you know it's has a very specific and vibrant color palette. So we explore that. And yeah, that's pretty much it for website highlights. We've got more coming. Eventually a full-fledged Breath of the Wild review from Leah.
Switch. Something a little different.
Yeah.
This whole thing of this whole concept of what is my favorite game now, it's playing on me. I'm working on an editorial in my brain.
Oh, sweet. So look forward to that. And we've got also more art examination coming up and a few surprises.
Yeah, indeed. So I want to thank Brock for coming to hang out with us.
Thanks for having me. This is
rad. Dude, you're awesome. Yeah, sweet. You jumped on here at like no notice, just like ready to roll.
You took me away from Zelda for an hour, but I'll forgive you.
I'm sorry. But we got to talk about Zelda for almost an hour.
It's true, and that's exciting.
Exactly. So for folks who want to track you down and find out about everything you do and all that jazz, where can people find you?
Website, Brockstar Gaming. Pretty much everywhere else, Brock McLaughlin. And I'm on Twitter at STDX, Brockstar.
Sweet. And you're in the Toronto area, so next time I'm in
Toronto.
The T-Dot, we need to hang out.
Yo, hang out. We'll high five.
Sweet. Not virtual high five. Real life high fives.
Real life high five.
They're better than virtual high fives.
Yeah, then you get to feel my sweaty palm. It's fantastic. Yeah.
And Kat, how can everybody track you down?
I am CSDESBINS, CSDBA, on everything. Twitter, Instagram, and all the console platforms.
Nice. I'm Leah Jewer on Twitter and Instagram, and then on, oh my goodness, I think I'm GOG Leah on the Nintendo Switch platform. I'm trying to remember what I did. I'm pretty sure that's what I signed up for. GOG Leah on Xbox, and then AYU5656 on PlayStation, because damn you PlayStation, I can't change my name. That's what I get for making a name back when I was in early undergrad. But of course, you want to know everything there is to know about Girls on Games, so you can go check us out at Facebook and Twitter at The Girls on Games. We're Girls on Games, on Instagram. We have a Discord channel. So if you want to chat games, we're pretty much there talking 24/7. That's discord.me/girlsongames. But of course, everything you need to know is on girlsongames.ca. That is our home base, our wonderful website. So thank you for listening. Thank you, Brock. Thank you, Kat.
You.
It's been a wonderful evening of talking about Zelda and then everything else to do with gaming. And we'll see you all next week. Happy gaming. Bye.
Peace.